Welcome into Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Stormy Bonantoni here in for Patrick Maher today. And what would the Lombardi Line be without the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Michael Lombardi? You're stuck with me today. I'm sorry.
That's all right, Stormy. That's great. It's good to meet you. Good to be on the air with you. Thank you very much. You know, we have to give Patrick a day off. He gets exhausted. You know, he's so busy stirring things up between everybody that he needs a day of rest. So thank you for coming in.
Of course. I've got Patrick's back, especially since I know our producer, Stephanie, who we know and love. I heard that she spilled some coffee on his notes the other day. So I think we're off to a good start that I just, like, all of my stuff is working. We don't have coffee on the table. It's a win. I will say, though, another team maybe in the NFL that has not been off to as good of a start as we are here today is probably the Dallas Cowboys, because Andy Dalton still in the concussion protocol, didn't practice yesterday. They're already down Dak, and now it looks like Ben DiNucci might be the guy, the rookie seventh round pick, stepping in on Sunday.
You know, and they put that line at 9, and I'm not sure that line's really going to be good enough. I mean, even with Andy Dalton against the Washington defense, they couldn't move the ball effectively or score any points, especially contributing to the factors that offensive line. I know they had Cam Ewing back last week at left tackle, but Steele at right tackle was a problem, and all their inside people. And the strength of Philadelphia is their defensive front, and they are getting a few players back. They think they'll get Rieger back this week. Perhaps they'll get Jason Peters, their left tackle, back. So, you know, it's a tough matchup for the Cowboys. And when we see what happened this week, Stormy, you know, they released Poe, they released Worley, two guys they've signed to offseason contracts in free agency, and gave them substantial money, over $5 million between the two of them in guarantees, and they just let them go. And it isn't because they're letting them go because they get cap relief. That's not the case. They don't get cap relief. They're letting them go to try to straighten out their locker room, which just tells you how bad this locker room is. And as bettors, we need to take advantage of this. We need to take advantage of the problems in Dallas. They have yet to cover a spread this season. And just watching this game and looking at the matchup, even if Dalton plays, I'm not sure they're going to be able to keep it within 10 points.
Yeah, you got to take advantage of the unrest, I guess, when it comes to the Cowboys. It's been a crazy situation over there. Their offense was averaging 32.6 points per game the first five games. Then they just had 10 and 3 points. So their offense isn't clicking. Their defense been bad. There's unrest in the team. It seems like nothing can really go right for that group right now.
Well, it all starts with the offensive line, right? And it starts with Kellen Moore, the offensive coordinator, right? He has not made any adjustments. I mean, the left tackle, you know, they've played two backups. They've lost both their starting tackles in Smith and Collins. Those guys go out. Now, all of a sudden, Cam Ewing's playing at left tackle. You've got Steele playing at right tackle. He's played some left tackle. It's kind of a mismatch of everything. Zach Martin gets hurt. So all of a sudden, which was at one time the strength of the Cowboys, is now really a huge liability. And teams are feasting on it. Washington feasted on it last week. They can't control the football. I mean, Dalton got sacked. He got pressured. They're early in the game. He got sacked for a safety. So it's really an issue. And then, you know, when you add the other problems, which are the defense, just looking at it, you know, the Eagles have not been great defensively. Offensively, they've struggled to run the ball. They've struggled to protect Carson Wentz. He hasn't played near the level that everybody had hoped he would this year. But against this bad Cowboys team, which is poorly coordinated, poorly coached, and bad personnel, you know, it's a great matchup if you want to place some money down on Philadelphia, especially if you want to do them in a teaser where you get that number down. I would suspect that the Eagles are going to be in a lot of survivor picks this week.
All right, it'll be an interesting one on Sunday night. Gosh, looking at that NFC East standing, just a brutal, brutal division this year.
It is brutal. It's not good. It's not like, you know, I'm way older than you. And so when I was, you know, we used to have great coaches in the NFC East. We had Buddy Ryan. We had Bill Parcells. We had Joe Gibbs, the great Tom Landry. And then Jimmy Johnson comes in, and it's still good. But this is now, we're back to really, you know, the owners are controlling the East. And I think that's why the downfall has occurred.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Another team, though, that's had some quarterback issues has definitely been the Jacksonville Jaguars. And after their week one win versus Indy, they dropped 6 straight. Coach Doug Marrone went on kind of a wild rant the other day talking about he's fired up, is going to make some changes, wants to think outside the box after the bye. Do you think at least in part this means Minshew mania is over? Is that a big part of that?
I mean, where are they going to go? I mean, Mike Glennon, Stormy, I'd put you in before I put Glennon in. I mean, seriously.
Yeah,
oh, yes.
Bad.
I mean, Mike Glennon, I mean, when you have Mike Glennon as your backup quarterback, if you think that's a chance, you know, that's a week ahead, looking at the lines ahead. I mean, that's a definite play against the Jaguars. Mike Glennon gets in there. He's methodically slow. He can't execute what they want him to do. This is really about Jacksonville's inability to match up talent-wise. Look, they played the Chargers really hard. Which, if you go back and watch that tape, they're in the fourth quarter against the Chargers with a chance. It's tied. They've got a chance to perhaps win it. They just can't make enough plays. They can't be consistent as a football team, and the Chargers win by 10. It wasn't a great win by the Chargers by no means, which is shocking this week as we look at the Chargers are getting so much action against the Denver Broncos because they lost. It goes back and forth. But for me, Jacksonville is a team that was tanking for Trevor. They've cut their roster. They've done a good job with it, and I think they're going to continue to tank for Trevor. I don't know where they're going to get a win. I mean, coming off the bye, Houston will beat them. The Packers, I don't know where they get a win the remainder of the schedule, unless the Colt game doesn't mean anything at the end of the year.
So I'm thinking about these quarterbacks. If not Mike Glennon, their next guy is Jake Luton from Oregon State. Do you think that he might be a better option for them?
I like Jake Luton coming out in the college draft. I don't know if you watched him coming out, but I thought he was really a good prospect. I thought he had some savvy to his play. He made Oregon State, gave them some credibility up there. He moved the football effectively and won some Pac-12 games. But, you know, this is a huge mother may I jump up to go from a fifth or a sixth round pick, whatever he was, to become a starter. And, you know, this is the roster that they wanted to have. I mean, I kept wondering why they weren't going after a veteran quarterback. They liked Mike Glennon. That's who they signed as their backup. So, look, I think it's pretty clear. They want to have the first pick in the draft. I think they're going to change their organization out completely, whether it's David Blaine Caldwell gets fired, Doug Marrone, everyone. I think it's going to be something new happening in Jacksonville. They have to. I mean, think about this, Stormy. They've had one winning season since 2010 where they won that one year. Every other year they've picked in the top 10.
Yeah, take for Trevor, lose for Lawrence, all the good little notes we've got there. The Jags have lost 12 of their last 15 games now, and all six that they've lost this year, they've given up 30 or more points, so not a good look for the Jags. We'll turn our attention to the Patriots, though, because head coach Bill Belichick said in his presser the other day he doesn't know anything about these Stephon Gilmore trade rumors. What do you think about that, the thought of moving on from the 2019 Defensive Player of the Year?
Well, I don't think he's played like the 29 Defensive Player of the Year. Last week against the 49ers, they matched him up against George Kittle, the tight end, and he struggled to cover him one-on-one. I think a lot of the players in New England aren't playing to the level they played. And I think a lot of it is, and I wrote about this in The Athletic, I think a lot of this has to do with they haven't had an off season. I mean, the Patriots, really, their secret sauce, the reason they're so good is because they're a little bit like the Navy SEALs. They need to go through a training program to get everybody on the same page, caught up in the same mindset, teach football. They've missed that, and that's not an excuse. That's just a fact. And their play last week against San Francisco on all sides of the ball, offense, defense, and the kicking game, could not have made Coach Belichick happy. I'm surprised the line is as small as it is. It opened at 4.5. It went down to 3.5 against the Buffalo Bills. I mean, these are two teams playing a different direction, but that leads us to the other point, I think, Stormy, and since Patrick's not here, maybe you can become a better weather forecaster than he is. I think weather's going to impact a lot of these games this weekend. We've got this storm coming up from the coast. Perfect for you. You should be in the weather, girl.
No, the storm coming up from the coast. You can't just throw the weather on me because my name is Stormy, Michael. Come on, help a girl out here.
I'm saying no matter what you say, you'll be more accurate than my man. But look, wind is a factor. Wind will be a factor. Wind's going to be a huge factor in Baltimore. It's going to be a huge factor in Cleveland. It's going to be a huge factor in Chicago. So it is really going to impact some of these games. And let's just take the Vegas Browns game. That wind's going to be 25 mile an hour up in Lake Erie. On the other side of Lake Erie in Buffalo, that wind's going to be 25 mile an hour. That's going to impact the game. It's going to impact the offenses. It's going to impact the over and the under numbers. There's a lot to go with that. Forget the rain, the cold, the snow. That's meaningless. Wind is what we have to focus on, and the wind this weekend. This is going to be in all respect to you, a very stormy weekend wind-wise.
Yeah, and there's probably going to be some wind and rain and storm in Carolina out there as well for that Thursday night football game tonight, which we'll get into in just a little bit. But I did want to see, just while we're on this Stephon Gilmore talk real quickly, if you saw the news that had come out about his house being up for sale. Did you see this?
Yeah, this is a new thing, I guess. Yeah, I mean, look, you know, that's a really modest price for a home in the New England area. I can promise you that. I don't know where the hell he lives, but I didn't know there. It's hard to find a home under $1 million up there. You know, I don't know what to make of it. Obviously, you know, he's had his contract guaranteed this year. They needed to. Remember, yeah, when this whole thing started, when COVID started, the Patriots had no cap room. The Patriots were really tight on cap room, and they had to redo a bunch of contracts just to kind of get below, to kind of add some pieces to their team. And then because of COVID, because of the players that decided to opt out, they built up $90 million worth of cap room that they are going to take and put into next year's cap. So next year's cap, they had $90 million, right? So now they're going to take the bulk of this money and move it into next year. So they'll probably have, let's say, $150 million of cap room going into next year. They'll have some of their team, not all of it, and then they can start signing players, because most of the NFL won't be able to do that. There'll be a few, Indianapolis, Jacksonville, those teams will have the cap room to do it, but most won't, and I think that's why. So maybe Gilmore feels like he put his house up for the market. He may not be part of the team in 2021.
Yeah, but he's somebody who is expected a big deal next year. I was just laughing, though, because you look at this showing, and it says all showings are on Saturday and Sunday, and any offers, if any, are due Tuesday, November 3rd at 5 p.m. Of course, the trade deadline, November 3rd at 4 p.m. Eastern. So I don't know if this is a joke or if this is real or if he's really just not expecting to be there, but they're going all out, it seems.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can see there's some fuel to this fire. Obviously, he just didn't do this. A little bit like what Carlos Dunlap did the other day when he put out his tweet, and the next thing you know, he was traded. So, look, I mean, he's an asset for them. That's the one area they do have a lot of players is in the secondary. Now, he's one of their best players on defense. Don't make no mistake about it. When he plays to the level he played last year, he's one of their best players. But perhaps they feel like they can use him to get an offensive piece. I mean, they need a tight end desperately. They need a skilled player. Really, they need someone on the outside. Julian Edelman is not healthy. Julian Edelman's a player that has really tried to fight his way through an injury, and he can't quite do it yet. I'm surprised he's still trying to play out there based on how bad he has looked in terms of relating to the injury. So for me, you know, I could see them moving him as a piece, but that's surprising considering they get no cap relief from it.
Well, to the annoyance of Pats fans everywhere, another big news item today, Tom Brady was named the NFC Offensive Player of the Month. No Bucs player had ever won NFC Player of the Month, and it took Brady 2 months to change that.
Yeah, well, look, he's played the last 2 weeks. He's played really well. I would not say, you know, the whole month. I think when you watch the Green Bay tape, Green Bay struggled. That game was 10-0. Green Bay was moving really well. The Bucs were not doing much on offense against them. They were struggling. And then the interception parade happened. And the next thing you know, that game became a rout. A little misleading, that tape. It's a little misleading. If they play again come the wintertime, that game won't be like that. It won't be as lopsided, and Aaron Rodgers won't make that mistake. But look, I think the player of the week, I think Brady's been sensational, and I love Tom. But I think their offensive line has really helped. Tom didn't get touched last week against the Raiders. No one got near him. He had great protection. And when you have that much protection and you have the ability to attack a secondary as weak as the Las Vegas Raiders secondary is, you're going to make a lot of plays.
So if his O-line continues to stand up the way that it has, do you think that Brady can keep his level of play up? And we saw those MVP odds and everything like that up on the screen. You think he can?
I think he can. I mean, look, it's all about not getting touched. You know, there was times in September he looked like he was 43. I mean, let's go back to the Chicago game when everybody was making fun of him when he put four fingers up. He had a lot of pressure on him in that game. They struggled to protect against Hakeem Hicks inside and Khalil Mack on the outside and Robert Quinn coming from the other side. They struggled. But since that game, they've done a much better job of protecting. And their defense is always really good. They're a complete team. I mean, they really are a complete team. And the only way you're going to beat him, the only way you're going to slow down this offense isn't with coverage. It's not with confusing him, because you can't. It's with pressuring him and making him throw the ball early. And if he continues to have that protection, he can continue. He might be the MVP, although I have a hard time believing Russell Wilson won't get it.
Yeah, it's going to be a competitive field up there for sure. But hey, with an exciting college and pro football action that's going on every week, it's time to make sure that everybody gets into BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. So download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open up an account. Start placing sports bets from anywhere here in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and friendly specials every day of the week. Hey, if I can do it, you can do it. I'm all over BetMGM. In addition, VSiN is reporting live from the Mandalay Bay every weekend to bring you the analysis of the best matches. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. You're watching the Lombardi Line. We will be back in just a little bit with more NFL talk. We might dive into a Thursday night football contest that's coming up tonight. We've got some NBA talk as well as some COVID news. So make sure you stay with us. Once again, this is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM on VSiN, the sports betting network. And we have some great news for everyone. Starting right now, you can watch every VSiN show for free on VSiN.com all week long. Watch Follow the Money at 7 a.m. Eastern, a numbers game with Gil at 10 a.m., the Lombardi Line, My Guys in the Desert, and our full 14 hours of live daily sports betting programs. It is all free 24/7 on VSiN.com this week. And while you're there, check out our 10-day free subscription trial to sample everything we have to offer, including the daily best bets email and our point spread weekly betting guide. This is the perfect week to get more from VSiN, the sports betting network. Head to VSiN.com now to start watching for free. And you're watching the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Stormy Bonantoni in for Patrick Ma here today, and Michael Lombardi. We have some breaking news here on Lombardi Line. The Chargers and Giants apparently are both quarantining after contacts of close positive tests for COVID, and they're doing virtual meetings today. Had to shut down their facilities.
Yeah, Trayson, and I think Joe Judge earlier in the week said that he thought that might happen. The game is on schedule for Monday night. So, again, this is just the norm in the National Football League during the COVID time. I don't expect it's too bad. I think it's more about contact tracing than it is actually positive tests, but we shall see. Hopefully both those games stay on course. The Bucs and the Giants are Monday night, and of course, Denver hosts the Chargers on Sunday afternoon.
Like, frustrating has this been from a betting standpoint, seeing the way the games have to be taken off the board throughout the season due to all this COVID stuff?
You know, I think as bettors, and I've been giving this advice out for a while, you know, you used to be able to make your bet, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, feel really good about it, look at the injury report. I don't see why, and I know you got to play the numbers, and I get all that, but I don't see why you would take a team, especially if you're going to lay significant money down, whether there's the threat of COVID, whether there's the threat of a player missing a game, you know? And so how do you do that? You can't do that till Sunday morning, and you've got to see the lines. That's why I think a lot of the line movements during the week is noise. I don't think it's as relevant as the line movement on Sunday. I think Sunday's line movement is telling us everything, telling us where the sharps, or what we call the prevalones here, are betting. And I think that's what you have to do, is you just got to wait later in the week. I know people want to grab. Look, I think let's just take Dallas-Philly. I'd grab Philly at 9. I'd tease them down to 7 if I could. Tease them down to 2 if I could. Put them in a 2-game teaser. Put them with Kansas City against the Jets and tease both teams down. I might do that. But, I mean, if just a straight, I'm going to play, this is my recommendation, just on the point spread, I think you have to wait till Sunday.
Yeah, definitely makes sense. And just to let you know, we did have a little bit of added information. It looks like for the Chargers, it was two unnamed players that tested positive that are in isolation. And for the Giants, starting left guard Will Hernandez is placed on the reserve COVID list for the Giants right now. So just an update there.
Which will hurt them. I mean, look, if Hernandez doesn't play, you know, I'm tempted. My chart, my power rankings say take the Bucs and lay the 9. I think the line's at 9. I think that's where it is. It's all the way up to 11.5 now. So that went through the number that I had. So look, I don't see how the Giants are going to score points, and I don't see how the Giants are going to be able to protect Daniel Jones. This is a bad matchup for Daniel Jones. The Bucs defense makes you play fast. It makes you get rid of the football. It makes you think and play at the same time. And that's not the strength of Daniel Jones. He likes everything to be in rhythm. He likes everything to be smooth, play college zone drops, be able to play man-to-man. Just give him something that he can sink his teeth into and then play. That ain't the Bucs defense. The Bucs will be coming from all over. And without Hernandez, their best offensive lineman, that'll be a true challenge.
Yeah, it could be a rough one for New York against the Bucs. Wanted to say, just we already talked about Gardner Minshew earlier today, and now Adam Schefter tweets that he's been diagnosed this week with multiple fractures and a sprained ligament in his right thumb. So maybe that's been causing some of his issues.
Yeah, he's had some really strange throws. I mean, last week against the Chargers, he made a couple throws that you just shake your head and say, what's going on here? You know, he didn't look right. And if this means Mike Glennon is, now this might be the perfect opportunity. If Mike Glennon is going to be the starter against Houston, whatever that opening line is offshore, I might grab it.
Yeah, a lot of interesting stuff there with Gardner. I just thought that he was doing bad. I didn't think that it had anything to do with an injury. You know, it's just Gardner being Gardner. Is that bad to think?
No, I think it's right. I mean, you know, this happened to him last year, Stormy. You know, he started out, that's how he got Minshew Mania, and everybody wanted to, you know, I'm sure you're going to dress as Minshew Mania for Halloween.
How'd
everybody,
you know,
was like in love with it, right? I'm sorry that Stephanie tipped me off. But the reality of it is, you know, then he started playing, and the more he played, the less effective he became. And then remember, Nick Foles comes back in. And then all of a sudden, you know, now we're back to Minshew Mania again.
Yeah, I'll get my mustache ready for Saturday for my Minshew Mania. But when we come back here on Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM, Vinny Maiulo is going to join us. We'll talk Thursday night football and a look at all the odds for Sunday. For you, it's the easiest way to bet on your favorite sport with secure payments, attentive customer service, and a reliable website, all brought to you by ExpressBet. Sign up using the promo code Vegas500 today and get a $10 free bet instantly. Plus, receive up to $500 bonus for wagering in your first 30 days. Visit first.com/bet for more information. That's 1st.com/bet. Promo code Vegas500. And we are here on the Lombardi Line on a Thursday. Vinny Maiulo joining us, Michael Lombardi at his home setup. And of course, on a Thursday, we have Thursday night football to talk about. Another riveting matchup based on what we saw last week. I got to say, for the Giants Eagles being as brutal of a matchup that was, I was very entertained. Mm-hmm. Vinny, I just want to start with you. Yep. What kind of a handle do you get on a game like that?
Well, before we get to that, welcome, Stormy.
Thank you.
Right? And I'd like to welcome all the listeners to the All Italian Football Hour, right?
That's right, Vinny. I didn't think about
studio.
That.
You folks at home are missing out on all this.
I love it, Vinny. Yes.
I need some ravioli on the table.
Yeah, I love
Let's
it.
Go.
So it's there great to welcome to VSiN and the Sob Point, Stormy.
Thank you.
So just to, you know, we've said this a few times this year. You go back to even week two, where on paper that Jaguars Dolphins game, you mentioned the Eagles and Giants last week. But and now you say the Falcons, who have found more ways to lose games this year than any other team. But it is a Thursday night matchup, and because it's a standalone game, it's not lost in the 10 a.m. schedule, let's say, or 1 o'clock Eastern time schedule on Sunday. So the fact that it is a game that is standalone. It is on Thursday night. It will generate probably at least three times the handle than it would on Sunday morning. By the way, just to update the numbers and the line movement for this week, Panthers opened 2.5, excuse me, and went to 3. Now it's Panthers 2, so and 52. So the game being bet over right now.
You know, Vinny, when you go back and watch this morning I went back and watched the coaching tape of this game the last time they played, and it was a close game. It really was. I mean, Ryan throws a horrible interception in the end zone. He's got a chance to take the lead, and mm-hmm. Carolina was kicking more field goals than they made plays, and it's that give and take. Carolina lost a bunch of guys in this game. They lost Jackson in the corner. They lost Burns, their rusher. So when they lost those guys, the game kind of got even. I think this is a game about durability and health. If Burns is healthy, Jake Matthews couldn't block him in the last game. He created turnovers, got the ball out. But Ryan has this ability to make plays, to throw the football effectively when he does have the time, and they've got the receivers to attack. A Carolina secondary that I don't think is really good. I think this is a pick'em game. I really do. I think it's a pick'em game. I think it's a hard game to figure out who's going to gain the advantage mm-hmm. based on health. The Falcons match up well against the Panthers. The Panthers match up well against the Falcons. Falcons couldn't cover Robbie Anderson or DJ Moore the last time they played. So this is one of those, you know, where it's a real – and weather – 9 to 10 mile an hour win in the game. This is really, I think, a pick 'em, and I think that's why that line has been so volatile. Panthers, then back for the Falcons.
What have you seen from the Falcons this year? I feel like we talk about all these teams that find a way to win, and it feels mm-hmm. like the Falcons have just found a way to lose week after week.
Yeah, it looks, I mean, it's a disconnected group, right? I mean, there's just no cohesiveness, although it's not as bad as it is in Dallas right now, and I think the players are at least trying to compete. Particularly on offense, which I think speaks to the fact that this is one of the few totals that's actually going up. To Michael's point, too, not a lot of wind right now. There may be more wind, I think, this weekend in a lot of spots, and we're seeing that indicative and reflected in some of the other totals. But this is a total that has again, gone up by a couple of points. The other part is because both offenses and the defenses are not particularly good. They're not stopping people. So this figures to be a game where I'm sure there's – even with these two teams, and maybe with Christian McCaffrey coming back, it looks like this will be a fantasy player's kickoff for the weekend. So
is he coming back? I'm still unsure about that, right?
I think it's a game-time decision. Michael may have some. I kind of doubt it myself, but Michael will have more insight than I do.
Yeah, I would say he's not coming back. That's not going to be the case. I think they're going to hold him off until he comes. They play Kansas City in 10 days. I think that's going to be mm-hmm. when he does come back. But he certainly makes a difference for their offense. But this Mike Davis kid has been sensational. I mean, he has been really good. He gave Atlanta all sorts of trouble the last time they played him, and he can catch the football effectively. Look, I think Joe Brady calls as good a game. Teddy Two Gloves, you know, won't be bothered by the rain because Teddy can handle the, you know, he's got those gloves. And he just didn't play well against New Orleans last week. At the end of the game, he takes that bad sack. But Carolina's Matt Rhule's got them going in the right direction. He's got them tough. They play hard. They're not good on defense, especially in their secondary. They can be exploited. Julio's supposed to play. Ridley's a little healthier. But when you play on these short weeks, even though the guys dress, they never have the same juice as if they had that extra day to rest. And that's going to be a problem. Look, here's the reality. If it was Thursday practice, Julio wouldn't have practiced. If it was Thursday practice, Ridley wouldn't have practiced. And yet they got to play in the game.
You know, and Michael, that's a terrific point. I think the rest part of it and coming off the schedule, but they know on the back end, right, that they're going to have in for their next game,
yep.
they're going to have even more rest. But the fact that it's on national TV also gives the players, they know they're in the spotlight. The way we know this is the featured game of the betting menu today, then obviously the players, they don't care about the betting, but what they care about is, hey, listen, we've got pride, we're fighting for our jobs, and we're on national TV. So I think that you do get an extra, you may not get as much quality as you would with a regular week, but I think that there's a lot of pride on the part of the players.
Yeah, I think it'll be a good game.
And I think the overs...
Go ahead, Michael.
Go ahead, Stormy. I'm sorry. No, I think the overs in play here because I think the weather, as Vinny said, it's the win. But both defenses are not good in the secondary, and it's going to be a passing game, especially in the second half, where one team might get ahead, the other team might not, you know, have to play catch up. You know, look at some of those games we saw last week, Vinny. I mean, 21 points by the Bucks in the fourth quarter. The Browns scored 20 points in the fourth quarter. I mean, these points that are coming in the fourth quarter when these teams are desperate and it's going back and forth has really helped those overbetters.
Just really quickly, Michael, just because you mentioned Teddy Two Gloves and how he might be in the weather, do you think that Teddy Bridgewater could be the long-term solution at quarterback for the Panthers?
I think he's the long-term I think they have to get better. I think that there's the games, and he's played really good. And I love Teddy. He brings a certain consistency to the team. But there's a level you have to get above, I think, for them to win a championship, to win the Super Bowl. I think it's a really good signing. It's a much better signing than what Nick Foles has done for Chicago. And they've gotten a lot of good play out of Teddy Two Gloves. But they need a little bit more. They need a better offensive line. They need other things, too, to help Teddy. But I do think they'll need a little more.
Yeah, definitely agree with you there. Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni, Vinny Maiulo all here on the Lombardi Line. We'll be back with all of your NFL action on the other end of this break. Stay with us on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. List of quality candidates from Indeed's resume database the moment you sponsor a job. Get started at Indeed.com/credit. And guys, every game means something more at BetMGM Sports, and new customers have a chance to win $100 in free bets when they place a $1 wager on the Falcons-Panthers game. And if either team scores a touchdown, you win. You got to do it. Just sign up and make your first bet with bonus code VSIN100 and take advantage of this special offer. If you're ready for showtime, then you're ready for BetMGM, the king of sports books. Download the BetMGM app today and use promo code VSIN100 to win $100 when you bet $1 on the Falcons-Panthers game. And if either team scores a touchdown, you win. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, or West Virginia only. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado and Nevada. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey and West Virginia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. As we welcome you back into the Lombardi Line, live at our VSiN studio at the South Point, Stormy Bonantoni, Vinny Maiulo in the house, and Michael Lombardi, of course, at his home setup. We've got a lot to cover and wanted to get into the breaking news of the day, of course, the Chargers and Giants both having positive tests and shutting their facilities down, which means, Vinny, that both of those games that those teams are involved in, which is Chargers-Broncos and Monday Night Football Giants-Bucks, both off the board right now.
Yeah, and that's, it's a challenge for bettors. It's a challenge for bookmakers as well. So at the time that we took those games off the board with the announcement of the COVID precautions, the Chargers were 3-point favorites. They had gone from 2.5 to 3.5. At South Point, we don't move the money on 3. Again, a philosophical preference here. But Chargers were 3 and 44.5. And Monday night, the Buccaneers got up to 11.5, and those are the graphics that we have right now. Those are right now. They're off the board. The total on that one from 47 to 45. Now, the challenges here are once we get more confirmation, and if it's determined that these games will take place, then the games will be opened again for betting at the counter and on the mobile app. The challenge for us is parlay cards and teaser cards, which are very popular amongst the public because they're very convenient, and you get folks that tend to, you know, they'll bet their 4, 5, you know, 8, 10 teamers and things. Those have to be locked out. Now here, while we have a system that can produce parlay cards on a daily basis, we like a particular paper stock, And so they're done in advance. Now they get here. They're done, let's say, yesterday. They arrived this morning, and now you've got these games on for the time being. On the cards themselves, it'll be a, kind of a timeout, just like there is off the board on the over the counter. But once we get word again about these games and confirmation that they'll take place, there needs to be an adjustment depending on the players in terms of the line. Then we'll open them back up again. But the cards, because they're fixed in terms of the prices on the cards, those are not going to be active.
Vinny, when I look over this board this weekend, and you know, now where are you on this game tonight? I'm seeing some places it's gone down to 1.5. I mean, it seems like a lot of action coming in on Atlanta.
Yeah, it is, and again, we're at 2, Michael. It is coming in on the Falcons right now, and the Panthers that did go from 2.5 on Monday to 3, but it didn't last very long. Obviously, 3, the most key number in the NFL. They took the 3, took 2.5, and we're at 2. So, there's obviously, to your point, yeah, there are some 1.5s popping up. I think at some point we'll get money on the home team on the Panthers tonight, even with the likelihood that McCaffrey won't play. But to your point also, Davis has done a tremendous job for them out of the backfield too. So I think it'll be a pretty good overall two-way betting game. I don't think there'll be this avalanche. We haven't seen an avalanche on the Falcons yet, and I don't think we will tonight.
Well, you guys want to just go through some of these big games for the weekend, or do you want to jump in one
more? Sure, go ahead,
Michael?
Stormy. No, I just have one more question. I'm sorry, Stormy. The game that's fascinating to me is when I look at this board is the Tennessee-Bengal game, because the way I've handicapped this game is really Tennessee should be a larger favorite than they are, and the number is moving well to Tennessee here. I mean, moving to Cincinnati. I think, I don't know where you are on this game right now, but it opened and it's now at 5.5, and it's coming down. Wasn't it at 6 at one point? Now it's coming back down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it opened 5.5 on Monday here at South Point, Michael, and then it went to 6, but now down to 5.5 here. I'm not totally shocked that there's support for the Bengals. I mean, the fact of the matter is, the Titans are while they're 5-1, they're 3-4 to the number, while the Bengals with only one win and of course a tie, they have covered 5 of their 7 games. So there has been betting support, mainly by more seasoned and professional bettors for the Bengals here. They battle. Even without Mixon in the last couple of weeks, we saw some support. And he may return for this game this week. And, of course, he's a major component for them. But it's not real shocking that the Bengals are getting more more support from more seasoned bettors rather than – I think you'll see the Titans – in a lot of teasers by the public, and they'll get a public support as well in terms of the number. But they did take 6, and now we sit at 5.5.
Michael, how rough for the Bengals has it been on Joe Burrow's body not having his offensive line stand up? How much does that impact things?
Oh, my God, Stormy. I mean, last week, the Williams kid, the first-round pick out of Alabama, he's hurt. He's got to come out of the game. And they're trying to block Myles Garrett over on the other side or even Olivier Vernon. And, you know, they don't even give the guy any help. I mean, they just let the backup tackle come in and think he's got to block somebody. I mean, Burrow's taken a beating, and I think this is why there's been such an up and down with the Bengals. You know, this game against Tennessee, for me, is Tennessee is the Seattle of the AFC. They are really, really good on offense. They're one of the best offensive teams in football. Arthur Smith is one of the best play callers in the NFL right now, and he's got an offense that he knows what to do with and how to handle it, and he can run it and throw it, and he can control the pace of the game. Their defense, on the other hand, is not very good. However, that being said, you know, they can play moments where they can play some good defense, and they can get the lead on people. And I think the Bengals' offensive line is just so bad that at some point it's going to completely break down, and whether it's against Tennessee or whether like it was against Baltimore. It's just, I think every week there's going to be a matchup. When they go play the Bears, he'll get rid of the ball quick, and they'll move the ball on the Bears a little bit, and the Bears will move the ball on them, but it'll be a closer game. I don't see this one. I think Tennessee dominates this game.
Well, the team that Tennessee lost to last week, the Steelers, still undefeated. They're going to be taking on the Ravens 5-1 Sunday afternoon. And the Ravens opened, I believe, at -6.5. Now they've moved to about 3.5, any?
Yeah, it's been a pretty steady stream of Steeler money. We actually opened it lower. I mean, there was a trend developing on Sunday night when some places put it up at 4.5 on Monday morning here at South Point. They took the 4.5, they took 4, they took 3.5, and now that's where we sit here. But you may see 3 here. This has typically been a field goal game in terms of the home team over the years. I mean, last year you have to obviously toss out because of Ben Roethlisberger's absence. But this is always a big game. I'll tell you what a lot of pros do too with this game. They kind of wait to see how they come out of this game, and then they may go against both teams the following week simply because this game has always been a very physical game. So bear that in mind in your look ahead notes. This will be, in my opinion, probably the highest handle game of the morning. I wish this game, as a bookmaker, I wish this game was an afternoon or even the primetime game. I mean, listen, no disrespect, but the primetime game on Sunday is Washington and Dallas. Dallas and Philadelphia. You'd much rather have this Steelers-Ravens game in primetime there. But this will be one of the, if not the premier bet game of the morning on Sunday.
Yeah, no doubt, Vinny. And I think this game is last time they played in Baltimore, in Pittsburgh, it went to overtime with Mason Rudolph. And then when they played the Duckster and Rudolph at the end of the year, it was a rout. They couldn't score any points. But for me, breaking this game down from a football standpoint is this is really Lamar Jackson. Can he throw the football against a secondary of Pittsburgh that has vulnerability to it? You can attack Steven Adams. You can attack Joe Hayden. You can attack their secondary. You can attack their corners. You can make plays. Passing. Tennessee did it in the second half. The problem you have, Tennessee had it more than ever because of Taylor Lewan's injury. You know, remember, Tennessee lost two of their starting tackles. They lost Conklin, who plays for Cleveland now, and they lost Lewan to injury. So their backup tackles are in the game. This game, I think the Baltimore offensive tackles, Kent Stanley can protect. They can block these guys. Orlando Brown and Stanley give them a chance. It really comes down to where you feel like Lamar Jackson. He did not throw the ball well against them, you know, in Pittsburgh. I think they intercepted him. He was sacked 3 times in that game. You know, this is a challenging one. Baltimore is the favorite. Pittsburgh should be the favorite. I think that's why the line's been moving, because Pittsburgh is a complete team in terms of everything they do.
Yeah, I think this line shocked a lot of people a little bit, that the Steelers, especially given the success they've had, they've kind of steamrolled through most of their opponents so far. But another game I wanted to look at was in the NFC best, apparently, that NFC West, the San Francisco 49ers and Seattle Seahawks. Can the Niners cover in this one, you guys think?
Well, this is one game that has not moved at all. This is the only game on the board that has not moved since the opener. Seahawks open 3. That's where they sit. The total hasn't even moved from 54. 49ers last year were favored in both games, and of course they split. But how the seasons have changed. 49ers not as dominant this year, particularly defensively. Seahawks, no defense, but they don't mind being in a track meet, it seems, and they've had some success. They lost last week, obviously, in a game that I still scratch my head, and how did they lose, especially with a 10-point lead late, or fairly late. But this will be the betting game of the afternoon. There's no question about it.
Really, really good
stuff. Yeah, this is an inter-squad game. Both teams run the same defense. Thank you, Stormy, for being. I appreciate being with you today, Stormy. Thank you.
Thank you. No, I have fun. I hope that Patrick doesn't miss you too much on these days that he can't be here. But no, thank you to our VSiN senior odds maker, Vinny Maiulo, being here. Michael Lombardi for killing it, as always, every day on the Lombardi line. I'm Stormy Bonantoni. Stay with us here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We've got great stuff going on all day long.